Hello and welcome back to National Board Conversations. I am your host, Danielle Brown, an NBCT here on staff at National Board for Professional Teaching Standards. And this is a podcast where we get to hear from candidates. We learn about their experiences, their challenges, motivations, and just what it's like in their current practice as they're going through this process. So I'm super excited to have on our guest tonight, Jennifer DeGioia. Y'all, she is so fascinating, and I just can't wait for you to learn more about her. So actually, I'm just going to stop talking, and I'll turn it over to Jennifer. Jennifer, if you just want to let us know more about you, where you're teaching, where you're from, and then we'll get started.
Sure. Hey, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it, Danielle. Hi, everyone. My name is Jennifer DeGioia. I currently teach in Southern California in the Ontario Montclair School District. This is my 22nd year teaching, and I'm kind of come full circle in my career where I'm back in second grade, in the same grade that I was the very first year I was teaching. So that's been pretty fun. I'm originally from the state of Pennsylvania, and, you know, I kind of would just see California on TV my whole life, and I was like, okay, that's where I'm going to live. So as soon as I graduated college from Duquesne University in downtown Pittsburgh, I moved to California, and I've been teaching here ever since.
I love that. As a Californian myself, replaced many, many times. Now I'm in Arizona, but I claim California and West Coast very hard. Has California lived up to what you expected?
Oh, yeah. Everything and more. You know, what I love about where I live right now is I can go to the beach, the desert, and the mountains, you know, all in one day if I wanted to. So it's really just everything you could want, in my opinion. So nothing beats California to me.
I love that. So before we start to talk about more about practice and your teaching, we like to start the podcast with like a little humanizing piece. Knowing that you just came back off of spring break as we're recording this, I'm curious, what is a way that you like to spend your time during breaks? I mean, you do live in California and you have so much around you.
Yes, there's so much to do, you know, and what's funny is a lot of my colleagues and I, when we come back, we love being like, oh my gosh, we did nothing because there's so much always going on. So I really try to make sure I take time to just have the freedom of time. You know, I try not to plan too much, but I do try to go and do something new and fun. Something I've taken up in the last couple years is stand-up paddleboarding. We live not too far from Newport Beach, and so that's a good area to go into the Back Bay, and it's just like one of those blow-up ones that I have in my trunk. And so one of my friends and I, we go out there, you know, as often as we can. We don't get out too much, but that's been fun to pick that up.
That is so cool. Okay, so I typically like have a bucket list of hobbies that I'm like, I'm going to try that. Yeah. And even though I live in Phoenix, and there's, you know, the bodies of water here are all man-made. There is a place where people do stand-up paddle boarding, and I have a friend who was like, you should get into it. Yeah. And like, like the concept looks cool, but also my biggest fear is falling into the body of water in which this happens, because it's no beautiful bay. It's a man-made, pretty murky, like probably shouldn't touch your body parts to the water kind of place. Yeah. But I mean, how lucky are you to be able to do that just kind of like in your backyard, more or less?
Yeah, pretty lucky.
Wow. Okay, so Jennifer, we're going to start talking about what the whole purpose of this podcast is, which is really getting to know more about you, your teaching, and then why National Board, especially at this point in your career. So we'll just start with that. What about National Board feels like it's the right time for you at this point in your career?
Mm-hmm. You know, 22 years in, I really just like to keep learning. You know, when we were going through COVID, I found a lot of places were offering new opportunities to learn, you know, new technology and just new, you know, just acquiring new skills. And so when I heard through my district that National Board was being offered with California covering the cost, that was really exciting for me. So when I looked up the standards, I just thought that this was a good time for me to kind of take a pause and reassess and make sure, you know, that I'm kind of just up to the standard that I should be at 22 years. And it's been a really eye-opening process. So I was, all I ever had heard about it before I went through the process was it's a ton of writing. That's what anybody ever said. And there's no National Board certified teachers at my school or anything. So I just felt really lucky, like, hey, they're going to cover everything. And then on top of it, you know, once you get certified, you get you know, a lot of extra bonuses, it seems like. It opens a lot of doors. So that was really attractive to me. And then on top of it, even this far in, when I thought like, okay, I'm a good teacher, like I could definitely qualify, I feel like I've gotten even stronger. So I'm kind of really excited now to turn everything in and to see what the judges or what the board thinks of me.
I love that you're excited about not only going through the process, but like feeling ready and kind of excited about turning in. I feel like this time frame around submission, like there's a lot of different emotions, right? People sometimes are second guessing themselves. There's some apprehension. There's some kind of just like, let's submit and see what happens. Mm-hmm. So to hear that excitement is a part of your current feelings, at least, is really exciting to hear. Mm-hmm. And so Jennifer, you mentioned as you were talking about like your why, there aren't any board certified teachers in your current school. Is that correct?
No. And then I even asked my principal, are there, did she know of any? She said no, but I did find one that I knew of in the middle schools in my district.
Wow. Go ahead.
Yeah. She was on her maintenance of certification.
Okay. So I'm so curious, like, what is it that you have done to either prepare yourself, like plan for board certification? Because oftentimes we hear from candidates like, you know, having a cohort was the thing that helped kind of keep me in it, made me feel successful. And knowing that you were kind of doing this in a space where you're, I'm going to say air quotes, alone. I'm sure you have a community that's supporting you. But like you're going through this process alone. There's not another NBCT at your site. Like, what are you doing to prepare yourself or help yourself through this process?
Yeah, it has been a lot of navigating through, you know, just what would work for me. So, you know, I've joined a couple groups on social media that have been really supportive. And then those teachers are really kind to ask good questions and share good resources. And then there's candidates in there and also certified teachers in there. So that's really helpful. And then just watching a lot of YouTube videos, watching the videos on the National Board website a million times, reading. That's what everybody says. Just read it over and over and over again. So really just making sure that I just take the time and don't get myself far behind, not overwhelming myself, you know, doing it a little bit along the way. This is my second full year of trying to work on all of the components. I'm doing all four at one time. And I just felt like last year I wasn't ready yet. Like I was just kind of like, it makes me think of jumping double dutch. I grew up in Philadelphia. Have you ever jumped double dutch before?
I have. I can't unfortunately say that I'm great at it. I'm great at jump rope, but double dutch, my brain just like doesn't connect.
Yeah. And you know, one of the big things about it is you have to wait for the perfect time to jump in. You know, you can't just jump in anytime. So that's what I feel like. It's like been like, okay, I'm ready. Here I go. And I feel like I'm ready. So last year it was a lot of just reflection where I was going through my standards, looking at my, how I teach now, my current performance. And I was like, oh boy, I don't think I'm up to stand. You know, like I didn't feel like I was ready to submit myself because I'm like, I need to step it up. So this year I felt like I really have, you know, collaborating with my colleague. I have a teacher on my grade level. She's great too. I told, like, it's really funny to read through everything. And I'm like, okay, that's her. That's her. And I'm like, you were sure you don't want to do this with me? Because you really are sort of a national board certified teacher. Everything in this whole list really describes you. So she's been really helpful. You know, watching the videos of myself has been really humbling. You know, I think we only have to submit two, and I think I've recorded 9 different times because I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that's how I act. So, you know, just it's been quite the process.
So I'm going to pick up on a few things there. One, your collaboration with your colleague, who as you're going through this process, you're noticing like attributes or characteristics that are her. Have you convinced her yet to go through board certification?
No, everybody's kind of like, why would you do this? You know, like why? Right. And I'm like, for me, I'm like, okay, well, first of all, for me, when I was in college, I really made a promise to myself that I was never going to be one of those teachers who just like was there because I'm just counting down the days of retirement. I actually work with a woman right now. And she said, that's me, that she's counting down the days of retirement. And I said, how many more years do you have? And she said, 17. And I was like, what?
You're long. Counting already?
I'm pretty sure you need to like, maybe make a career change. I don't know. You know,
yeah, it's a long time.
So for me, I always promise myself, okay, if you ever feel like that, you need to get out of the profession. And so I just kind of wanted to, you know, kind of, I thought it was good for me, you know, like, I don't understand why, I don't know, to me, I'm like, I don't know. I think it's a good thing to do, you know? So no, I haven't found anybody that thinks it's worth the work yet. So maybe I'll be the first example, you know, like I really kind of see that as a vision. Like I see my principal being like, oh, at a staff meeting being like, oh, we need to take a minute and congratulate Jennifer. You know, I keep trying to like envision like, okay, I'm going to see the fireworks in December and I'm going to get certified. And I think it's just a really good example because I have gotten better and I see growth in my students. So I just think like, I'll just show the data, you know? Yeah. So that'll convince them, but currently nobody's interested in doing all this work.
And I think you really like elevated something that sometimes we miss. Like there is a rhetoric right around what it means to go through the National Board Certification process. And that message gets passed down. Like you don't even have anyone in your building, but already you're hearing that message of like, oh, it's this, it's that, it's this. And so I think once you go through the process, to your point, like you could be example of that worth. Like, how did you come out on the other side? Or not even just that, but as you're going through it, what you're learning about yourself, how you're impacting your students. So I'm envisioning that same future for you because it sounds fantastic. And I hope it's everything that you've been dreaming of, to be quite honest. And with that, I really want to go back to a point that you made where you shared, like kind of you've been thinking about board certification for a little bit, right? A year or two. And then that first year you were saying, you kind of were just like checking yourself against the standards, reflecting before you made the decision this year to submit. Why was that important for you to like take that time to just almost, I don't know, almost like be one with what National Board is asking of you to ensure that you were ready for submission the following year?
Yeah, well, you know, I felt like I was being fake, you know, I can't turn this in because this is not me yet, you know, but I knew that I could get there because I knew I just kind of had, you know, when I read through the standards, I think it was just a lot more than maybe we think about. Altogether, all of those standards at one time. We think of standards like, oh, we have to meet the standards that the kids need to meet. We don't always reflect on the standards that we also need to be meeting, right? Yeah. Like when do we ever talk about standards the teachers need to be meeting? Never, because teachers might get mad and be like, hey, don't tell us what to do. We already know what we're doing. So that's been hard too for me because as I'm going through the process, I've had like ideas for the grade level and they're like, stop making us do more work. You know, this one woman on my grade level this year told me any extra work you choose to do is your choice. So, and I'm like, yeah, but I'm trying to move the whole grade. Like she was like, so if you want to do it for everybody, fine. But I was like, yeah, but I'm trying to move everyone forward. Like, I understand what you're saying, but like, who's going to do it if we don't do it? I understand it's extra work, but we have to do extra work. So to me, it's been a really worthwhile process because I feel like I'm a better teacher and it's kind of hard now for me to be like, oh my gosh, what do you mean you're not assessing that? You know, like what's your benchmark? What's your midpoint? You know, and I'm like, I never really would think about that before. You're just trying to meet the standards, you know?
Yeah. So it definitely, I think, makes you think about your practice in a different way. And then I think at the core of that is like, I think you start to see your students in a different way, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're very integral to this process. Like without them and their feedback and their experiences, board certification is kind of, it doesn't happen without them, right? Right. And so in our pre-planning, we were talking about some of the things that you have started to do or have been doing with students, like different extracurriculars. We're recording as we're recording right now because I believe you are working late on a thing that you stay after school for. So I'm so curious, how are those extracurriculars or like opportunities to have students work in different ways showing up in your teaching or even what you're learning about yourself through board certification?
You know, and they're showing up in really great ways. You know, I really feel lucky that there's been a shift in the district where I work, that they're willing right now to invest money in extended learning opportunities other than the traditional coding or the traditional, you know, for a long time, it was just intervention. You know, that's all we could do after school was reading intervention, math intervention. And that was it. You know, this year I've been given the flexibility. I started a club called RAKE, R-A-K-E, stands for Random Acts of Kindness, etc. And I was inspired through an SEL training I went to, a wellness training I went to over the summer, where a speaker said to shared his success in that kind of a club. So, you know, what we do is we meet, we talk about how we can impact the campus with kindness. You know, on Fridays we work on campus beautification. We go around and help the custodian, you know, pick up all the jackets and the water bottles and the lunch pails. And we also do this thing called a rake request, where any teacher, anybody in the whole school can send a request to our club. And it's like for a picture, or do you want an inspirational poster? Do you want a fun letter from one of my kids, one of my members? And you'll kind of give me a breakdown, like, what's this kid's name? What's the situation? Do they need a little support? Are they doing a great job? Whatever. And one of my, I sign it to one of my RAKE members and they work on the project. We deliver it to the teacher. And we got this wonderful message from one of the teachers saying how it's really been impacting her students' behavior. And she shared a picture of the kid and that everybody's cheering for the kids that get the rake pictures or the things that come from our club. And then she also shared a text from the mom that said, thank you for just the rake request that her kids were getting, because the kid comes home and he's excited to go to school now. So that's my one club. I do that on Mondays and Fridays. And then on Wednesdays and Thursdays, I do a Legos engineering club with second and third graders, which has been so much fun. I was sharing with a friend the other day that they don't even talk to me. It's like the easiest club I've ever done. They just... We just kind of, you know, I'm just like an adult that is in the room with them. You know, if they have any questions, fine. But they're just so excited to just build and have the freedom that, you know, they can do what they want during that time. And it's been so much fun. So we had an older club at my school. The fifth and sixth graders had Lego robotics. Mm-hmm. And the little kids were like, hey, we want to do Legos. And I thought, sure. And it's been amazing. We're going to do a showcase next week where we're going to, right now they're like building a town. It's really cool. It's going to be really amazing where the parents are going to get to come in and see what we work on in Lego Club, Lego Engineering Club. So yeah, I've been really fortunate to have administration that, you know, they listen to my pitch of my idea and they say, yeah, sure, go for it. So it's been really fun.
I love that, because what I'm also hearing in not only your passion for the work that you do is like there is an underlying piece of advocacy there, right? For moving from just enrichment activities or reinforcement activities to now your students and students in the community have access to RAKE, which that makes my heart so happy. I was so like excited hearing you talk about random acts of kindness and et cetera, and like the impact on students and community and just even the Lego Engineering Club, how students are in there collaborating, brainstorming, doing critical thinking, and you're just the adult in the room, right? Like they're learning with and from each other. And what a wonderful experience those little people get to have because of your advocacy. And so I just want to say kudos to you as an outsider looking in / listening in. I know what that takes to get that kind of stuff up and running. And so I want to say thank you on behalf of your students, because I think that's amazing. I think that's so amazing.
Thank you so much. You know, and I really feel like what going through the National Board process, you notice too that their brains need that also, right? So they shouldn't have to go all day doing reading and math and then do reading and math after school too. Some of the kids in my class that are thriving during the day, it's hard for them. You know, maybe math and reading isn't their spot, but in my class, that's where they're so excited to come there. And their attendance is perfect. Their behavior is perfect. You know, they're so excited at the end. Bye, Mr. Joy. They see me on campus. You know, they're proud of themselves. Aww. So that's what I think. Because my thing's always been, it has to be like a homeschool community thing, right? Like you have to be proud of where you're from. You want to make the school look good because this is my school, and, you know, and then go home and talk about it too and get your family involved and come out and check out our showcase. So yeah, thank you. I feel really lucky that we have that at our school.
Okay. So someone might be listening to this podcast, Jennifer, and they're like, I just heard her say Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, she's after school doing these extracurricular activities with kids. And she said earlier that she's submitting all four components in 1 year. Where or how do you find the time? Where do you plan to ensure that you're, one, like taking care of yourself amongst all of this, but also feeling like you are submitting the work that you want to, that shows your practice as you're, you know, juggling the things that you do after school plus personal life and submitting all four components this year?
Yeah, well, that's what I think is kind of nice about this process, is you can kind of work on it anytime and anywhere that you want. So you do have to, you know, be in your classroom to collect the evidence and to record, but all the writing that everybody hears about, you know, the 35 pages for component four and things like that, you can do that anytime. So I just try really hard, especially at this point, it's crunch time, you know, take any chance I have. Okay, you could write something, you can edit something. And I just keep seeing that light at the end of the tunnel, like this time next year, I won't be doing this. And, you know, in 2 months, I won't be doing this. So I just really keep just thinking about, if I just work really hard right now, it's, you know, I won't have to work that hard forever. That's how I'm getting through it. So I just try hard to just, you know, right now, I mean, it is a lot, to be honest, to anybody who's listening. I work on my lunch break right now, you know, working sometimes early in the morning. But like I said, you have to do what works for you, because I'm also a single mom of two active teenagers. Both my kids are athletes. And so I try to be present for them too. Yeah. So, you know, you just really have to make a commitment. Luckily, they're in on it too. And, you know, they understand that this is going to be something that's really exciting for us as a family, that I get to like put that comma and MBCT now. So that's really exciting for all three of us. So, you know, just making sure you have a support system too at home, because, you know, if my kid, I wonder what they think, because I feel like every time they come home, I'm just on the couch in the same spot with my computer. I'm like, oh my gosh, by the time this is over, there's going to be like a dip in the couch where I've sat for 2 years to try to put all this together, but it's going to be worth it.
I love that. I love that. And I appreciate how you name that this is a collective effort, right? Not only within your school community, but like home community as well. And so how do you engage your active teenagers as they see you coming in to sit down on the couch and to like write your night away?
Yeah. Unfortunately, like, you know, if I'm like, I'm so sorry, we're going to have to, you know, get Chick-fil-A. They're like, oh no, we're so upset.
So, oh man, we have to eat out? What?
Darn it again.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so with that, as someone who's doing all four components, and while there are similarities, like there are things that are very different about them, mm-hmm. Would you say that you have a favorite component? This is my own like secret question I love to ask, because I think everyone's answer is always so different and their reasons why it's a favorite component is always so different. So I'm curious.
Well, I definitely think we can throw out component one as a no. So between 2, 3, and 4, you know, I know 4 is the most pages, the most writing. But what I really like about 4 is that I get to share the impact of Rake and the impact of, you know, my after school clubs and the impact of trying my best to collaborate with my team members and showing the growth that we've seen this year. We just had a staff meeting the other day and my boss said, out of the whole school, second grade's grown the most this year. And so I feel proud, because I know that, you know, there's 3 of us on the grade level. One's very collaborative, one's not. But even the one that's not, she quietly has really been doing it, because she kind of cannot, because we're all doing it. You know, like if we're at a meeting and we have a really good idea, it kind of doesn't make sense if she won't do that. You know, like, wouldn't you do that? It's a good idea. So even though they don't love the extra work, it's working. So that's been exciting.
I love that. I didn't think you were going to say component 4.
I know. When I saw all the pages, that was tough. So component 4, I like that I get to talk about the extras that I do and how they're impacting the campus, because I do a lot of extra stuff. Component 3, what I really like is it was really good for me to watch myself, you know, to watch myself and to see that things that I thought were a really big deal, you couldn't even see that happening, you know, where when I was recording, I thought, oh my gosh, she won't stop talking. You know, like there's all that noise. It's so noisy. That's all they're going to be able to hear. And then when I watched the video, it was like nothing. As soon as I addressed it, the kids stopped what they were doing. And I thought, I was like proud of them and proud of myself. Like, I feel like I've grown as a teacher because, you know, just the way it looked on the video, I was like, wow, that's actually better than I thought it was. So that was good.
I love that. I think if I were to answer this question for myself, it would probably be like a toss up between 3 and 4. And I think for the same reasons, like 3, I learned more about my physical practice as an educator, like how I showed up in the classroom, like what are the different cues I was able to give students or that they've learned along the way that like they didn't need me for anymore, mm-hmm. that I didn't have to remind them. But it is one thing to like see yourself on camera and just like your different mannerisms. And if you're listening, sometimes that's the thing that like holds people back of like, well, I don't want to see myself on camera or I don't like my voice. Mm-hmm. Like, put that out the window. It is fine. It is fine. Especially like in this world of where most of us are on social media, someone's already probably seen your face or heard your voice. Like, you'll be okay.
And sorry, but that's what you look like. So you got to just move forward.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, okay, maybe not that shirt again. Like, and then also to the point of like students being students, videos are not meant to be perfect because a teaching day is not perfect, right? We're always responding and pivoting, and students are going to be students, whether it was my initial attempt at board certification or when I borrowed a classroom to do my maintenance because I was no longer in a classroom setting. Yeah, there were kids in the camera doing things that they weren't supposed to. Or I was thinking like, man, I'm rocking this lesson. And I go back and watch it. And yeah, little Susie over here was like posing for the first 5 minutes of me teaching. And you're just like, you just speak to it. Like, missed opportunity. But like, that's what happens. It's teaching in their kids, right? Yeah. So like,
and there's no way to try to curate your video like that it's going to look, you know, like anything like that. So just go for it and just understand that we all understand how a classroom is. That's just how it goes. And just try to be confident with your teaching practice. So I think that's where I had an advantage is I feel like deep down inside, I knew I was a good teacher. And that's another reason I wanted to go for it is I was like, I know I am this, but I felt like I just needed to like dig deeper. Like I knew this was really me. You know, when I was a third year teacher in Los Angeles Unified, the teacher next door, she was national board. And that's all she really, that's all I knew about it. She was just like, oh, it was a ton of writing. It was so much work, blah, blah. But I was too young in my career to even qualify. So, you know, time just went on. But it's been really nice to kind of take so much time to reflect. And this late in my career gets stronger. And what I've noticed with, you know, the few groups I have been a part of, you know, I've been a part of like a couple Zooms or a couple meetings with other national board teachers. And it's a lot of us veteran teachers. It's not, you know, year 6 teachers, year 7 teachers. And there are some of those, but it's, I'm here 17 years, I'm 13 years, I'm 21 years, you know, things like that. And I was proud of the group. Like, look at us. Cause I felt happy that there's a bunch of us that are making sure we're not the teachers that are 65 and we're like, I've been here 34 years. And, you know, they're just pushing worksheets and they're the mean teacher. Like, no, we're changing with the times and we're getting stronger and we're making kids excited to come to school and we're making dynamic changes. So I felt proud of that group, you know, that it seems like National Board is attracting all levels. So that's good.
That's exciting to hear because like my work now at National Board is really focused on how do we help early career educators see board certification as like a part of their career trajectory or journey. And I was earlier in my career when I was certified, I think I was in my 4th year because at the time you had to have 3 years and then you could do it. Now the policy has shifted and it's as you feel ready and you have the correct credentials, like you can do it in your 2nd year, you can do it in your 3rd year. And for me, doing it earlier, because I learned so much about my teaching was like the right fit for me because I was able to like really be reflective, think about my practice in a different way that wasn't necessarily required of me, but I knew I wanted to be that educator. But then on the flip side, I was in a meeting actually a few years ago with an educator who was like, I'm actually on my way to retirement. Like I am retiring within the next 2 or 3 years. And that year was the year that they were doing their initial certification. So if you're listening to this and this sounds, I don't know, intriguing, you're curious, like I would take the time like Jennifer did and ground yourself in the standards, read through things, but also know that like no matter where you are in your career, like this is a process for you, whether you're a fourth year teacher who's like, it's this or my master's, but I'm not ready for my master's for whatever reason. This could be your entry point to really thinking deeper about your practice, or whether you're literally 2 years away from retirement and you're using this as like your final, I don't know, gift to the profession. Mm-hmm. Like people from all across like their career trajectories are going through the process. And I think that is so dynamic.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, I really think it's important too that, districts or states, or I don't know how it's mandated, but they've really recognized national board teachers or any kind of people that are going for this kind of elite level training or reflection or certification. In California, that also attracted me to be quite honest. You know, they're offering, you know, a nice incentive each year to, if you're certified and you're at the right school. So, but I think that's worth it. You know, I think that I'm really hopeful that in my lifetime, teachers will get respect like doctors and lawyers and judges. You know, like we are highly trained and we're experts. And, you know, if you go to the doctor and you don't listen to the doctor, all right, fine. And the same thing if the teacher gives you an idea like, hey, I think you should work on this at home and you choose not to. It's just like not listening to the doctor, in my opinion. So I just think that it's important that districts recognize these teachers, and maybe that will increase the numbers. You know, like for me, once I reach certification, I plan to go to our district board meeting and like announce myself and be like, I just want to share that I got certified and thank you guys, because my district's really good about training. And like I said, giving me opportunities to just learn new things myself, you know, like I've never done a Legos club, but I'm like, man, I should have been doing this for years. You know, it's so much fun. And Rake is just so different, you know, like we've been able to swoop in and help on campus a couple times and people have been so thankful. And that's like, hey, that's what we are, you know, like the talent show, the custodian didn't know to set up the table. So here comes me and my kids like, we'll do it. And we're like moving the tables and setting up for talent show. And they were so thankful, but it's so great for the kids. Today I overheard a kid say, you know, one kid said like, oh, you don't like that. And the other kid said, well, everybody doesn't have to like the same thing. And the other kid said, true. And I thought that's so cute that they had that little like, and that's what Rake is. Sometimes we just sit in a circle and we like have these little cards and we act situations out to be like, well, what would you say if somebody said that to you? So it was really cute sometimes to just hear the impact across campus when kids are having conversations. So, yeah.
Jennifer, I could talk to you forever and ever. I mean, I really already feel like in our conversation, you have dropped so many nuggets, like not only about your passion for this work, but also calls to action for like district leadership, school leadership, encouragement for educators in the field who like are kind of maybe wondering, is this for me? So as we head to closure of this conversation, I'm curious if there's any like last piece of advice you would want to give to someone who's listening and they're like, I don't know, I'm not sure this is for me. Like, what would you say to them? Because I feel like you've been in that spot. And so now that you're out of that spot,
yes,
what would you have said to yourself back then?
Yeah, I say give yourself a chance. You know, it's they give you a nice chunk of time. You know, they give you a few years to go through it, even if, you know, you're just kind of dipping your toe into the water the first year and checking things out. You don't have to do everything at one time and just slowly, you know, unfold and learn about yourself. So I highly recommend this process, no matter where you are in your career. You know, I'm 22 years in and I really wish I would have done it sooner. I feel like it's really taken my teaching to the next level. I've always felt like I was a good teacher, but now I feel like the kids deserve a teacher like me. Like they're lucky to have me. You know, I feel like I always felt like I was an asset, but I don't know. I just feel like better. I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know, like puffed up, like I don't know what word, like, I don't know. It just made me really strong. Like you turn into like the Hulk a little bit, I guess, you know, like you have all these powerful, you're stronger now. It just made me stronger. It's everything that you can do right now. Everybody that's listening, if you go through this process, it's only going to make it stronger. It's nothing negative. Nothing bad's going to happen except, you know, maybe you'll have a dip in your couch from sitting there for a long time.
We should have like a hazard. May yeah. come dips and couch if that's where you're working.
I got a spot.
Yeah. I really like that description. And I think too, I think that's important for people to hear as you're like thinking of your new Hulk powers, is that these are things that were in you, right? Like there's not anything about the national board process that once you read a page once or two times through and you're going to be like, okay, now I'm like, I got this. I'm like the Hulk of a teacher. The thing is like, these are things that are already in you. Mm-hmm. The process just encouraged you to like pause for a moment and figure out like, why do you do the things you do? Why are you making the decisions you're making? What knowledge base do you have about your students, your community to make those decisions? And I think sometimes teaching is such a fast paced profession, especially when you're in the moment, you're like, well, I do the thing. And subconsciously you might know why, but it's the moment when you like pause and you say, well, actually, the reason I know this is because I know this about this student. I know this about their development, which is why I make really intentional research-based decisions to impact their learning. Yeah. I know like that was the biggest aha for me. I was being coached, going through the process, and I would like wrote something in my written commentary. And my coach was like, well, why did you do that? And my response to her was like, well, all kindergarten teachers do that. And I will never forget. She was like, no, Danielle, they don't. You do, and there's a reason why. What is that reason why? Mm-hmm. And I probably melted in that chair because I'm just like, Hulk teacher, like I felt that. I was like, wait, what? That's not something everyone does? Wow. And so, yeah, remember that. Yeah, everything's within you already.
Yes, and that coach or that teacher was right that not everybody's out here doing it.
Yeah.
And you know, but like I said, the kids deserve teachers like us. And I see a big change in my students. You know, I work in a low socioeconomic area with, you know, I've had 5 new kids this year and also 3 kids leave. So, you know, it's a tough neighborhood. Yeah. But they're so happy. They're so excited, you know, and I'm so proud of them. What's been great about this process, I think, component 2, you have to look at them, you know, pick a couple kids and look at their progress throughout the year. And I'm just like, wow, you know, like they did really great. And so did I. So, you know, this is what the kids deserve is elite teachers like us. And then we'll get the respect. It'll all come with it. So, you know, we just have to do it and get yourself puffed up.
Yeah. Okay. So I have one last question for you, Jennifer, before we close for real. I'm so excited about your future visioning of like what this looks like in December. You've submitted, you've opened your email and you're seeing fireworks and your principal and school are celebrating you. Your students are celebrating you. I'm curious, what does like celebration look like for you prior to this? Like, say you're going to submit on May 12th. I just made that date up. Yeah. You hit enter, like it's in the cloud. It's doing the things that it's supposed to do. How do you plan on celebrating that milestone of just like getting to submission?
Right. Yeah. And because after you submit, there's nothing you could do, right? You just have to wait till December. So you got to go back to my life. So I've already actually booked plane tickets for Hawaii in June. I've never been there. And of course my kids haven't either. So we're really excited. My son's actually a senior in high school. So we're going to be celebrating his graduation and then my submission, you know, because it's just been all of us together. And my daughter's turning 16. So it's her sweet 16. So yeah, so we're going to go to Hawaii to celebrate. So we're really excited. I can't wait. We're so, so excited.
I love that. So also listeners, as you're hearing this is also like my call to action. Once you submit, I mean, plan before this probably, but like figure out a way that you're going to celebrate the fact that you stuck with the process, the fact that you submitted, whether it is like, I'm going to enjoy a weekend unplugged, sitting in the pool, or you're taking a European vacation. I hope you take some time to just like revel and celebrate the fact that you have made it to this point of submission, and kind of just like honor what that means, not only for you as a professional, but like your practice. And then what comes in December is what will come in December. And then of course there are decisions to make, but I think sometimes we hit submit and then we're like, okay, it all hinges on December. But there is so much that has happened in your practice prior to whether or not you see fireworks in December. And so my biggest plug is like, remember that and still celebrate along the way.
Yes. And don't give up. And even if you're like, I can't do this, you can. You just have to keep on going. I felt that too, where I was like, oh no, I don't know if I could do, I don't know if I could get it all of it in there, you know, but you can. You just have to start. You know, at first I was like, well, forget it. You know, like, I'm not going to do it, but just start. You got it. You could do it.
Well, Jennifer, I am so glad that you didn't say forget it and that you stuck with it, because I don't know if we would have crossed paths or like had this conversation. I've been looking forward to this conversation all week after we talked last week. And I'm just so thankful that there are educators like you in classrooms across the nation, and can't wait for more people to find this energy, reignite this passion, because it's, at the end of the day, it's the students that you're impacting, and that makes me so very happy. So thank you for being on with us this evening. And I can't wait for you to celebrate submission, and then in December when you receive your results.
Yes. So thank you so much for taking time to talk to me. I really appreciate it.